SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is Tuesday, the 13th of May 2025. The Australian share market did well today. We'll have more in a few seconds, and later in the podcast, we'll speak with Matt Hassan from Westpac to check in on how consumers are feeling and what it means for interest rates when the Reserve Bank meets next week. But first, the Australian share market rising to an 11-week high. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.4% to 8,269. It follows a huge rally on Wall Street after US-China agreed to a temporary cut in tariffs. To find out what else that means for investors, I spoke with Kai Chen, the head of investment at MPC Markets. Kai, so the US market has really rallied following progress on those talks between China and the US. While they've agreed to lower tariffs, it's only, though, for 90 days. Still, to what extent do you think this is good news for investors? Have investors reacted appropriately, given shares on Wall Street up around 3 to 4% overnight, or have they been too optimistic?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we saw a dramatic rally last night in the US. So the deal between the US and China is that we're in Switzerland, and basically US is reducing the tariff from 145% down to 30%, and China is reducing it down to 10%. Now, it is only a pause, so the final details are not confirmed. But, you know, the negotiation is still in process. Now, the market has obviously taken this very positively, and I think it's just kind of a correction in terms of what we've seen over the last 2 months. Now, we're at levels pretty much at where we were in March, early March. And I think it is slightly optimistic because, you know, if you look at it fundamentally, there is still risk on the table. The deals are not finalized. And, you know, one strong indication is actually the bond markets. The bond yield, 30-year bond yields are at about the highs. So, you know, there is still some risk on the table.
What about reaction here? Because as I mentioned, shares on Wall Street up around 3 to 4%. The ASX 200 up only about a third of a percent with about 40 minutes until closing time here in Australia when we recorded this interview. Why do you think the reaction here has been underperforming?
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting relationship because if you look over a five-year period, traditionally the US has always outperformed on the upside to us. But, you know, conversely, when we had that sell-off last month, the ASX held up relatively well compared to the US. So we're just seeing a bit of reversal in that. And the major cause of that is the composition of our index, right? So in the US, we have a lot more tech stocks, a lot more growth stocks, whereas in Australia, we're much more mining and bank-focused. So, you know, when the market was selling off, we saw a bit more resilience in the Aussie markets. But, you know, of course, now with the risk on sentiment that's from last night, we're seeing that correct a little bit.
Can you run us through the market reaction specifically here? Because unsurprisingly, with the NASDAQ up more than 4% overnight, we saw IT stocks doing well here. Energy stocks also rallied today. But consumer staples really tumbled. Why?
Yeah, so traditionally with consumer staples, when we go into a defensive market or a bear market, staples hold up really well because it's a need for consumers. Whereas, you know, a lot of the growth stocks like IT as well as the energy stocks, they get a little bit punished because people want to take the risk off and there's not going to be as much growth. So the reason today is we're seeing a sector rotation from the consumer staples into the more growth-like stocks. And it's, you know, the same story here on the Aussie stock market where we're seeing WiseTech, Life360, a lot of the Aussie tech names really recover and go to new highs. So, yeah, it's a bit of a reversal.
I want to focus today a bit on gold because gold was reaching record highs for quite some time over the past few months, although it's fallen a bit overnight. There's been a lot of attention on it because of the uncertainty pushing it higher. What do you think now is behind the tumble in the gold price? We're seeing gold producers in Australia really lead the market on the downside. They're the ones doing the worst today. So has gold really seen its peak?
That's a good question. I think gold, given its last year's performance, you know, it was one of the higher performing sectors throughout the last year. So, you know, there is a lot of flow that went into gold. And, you know, the The cause behind that is basically we were seeing risk off. We were seeing a lot more geopolitical instability, and people were buying gold as a store of wealth to protect against inflation. Now we're seeing that slightly reverse. Basically all the investors have to take a little bit of money off the table, take a bit of profits. But I don't think it's the end of the rally. There will be a correction. I think, you know, if it goes lower, it is probably an opportunity to buy.
And finally, given the volatility we're seeing and the unpredictable nature of what's going on in tariffs, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and are there any opportunities for investors?
Yeah, so I think definitely we're cautiously optimistic. As we were saying before, I don't think this is the end of it. And given the unpredictable nature of all the news that's coming out minute to minute, we're still fairly cautiously optimistic. I think with a lot of the iron ore sector and the mining stocks, they've been so badly beaten over the last year that you're getting really cheap valuations. If it's China-specific news where there's an easing of the tariff wars, I think that you can see a recovery in the mining sector.
Kai Chen there, the head of investments at MPC Markets. From the share market, let's go to the economy, where there's been a small rise in consumer confidence following a recovery in financial markets, lower petrol prices, and a clear-cut election result. The Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index rose 2.2% to a level of 90.1, but anything below 100 suggests pessimists outnumber optimists. So what does it mean for the Reserve Bank when it meets to discuss interest rates next week? For that and more, I spoke with Matthew Hassan, Senior Economist at Westpac.
How would you describe consumer sentiment at the moment? What's driving it? Because while it's up, there are still more pessimists than optimists there.
That's right. It depends a little bit on the time horizon you're talking about. The last couple of months have all been about US trade policy. Back in April, when we had the survey in the field, amongst those we surveyed after the Liberation Day announcements, sentiment fell about 10 percentage points in Australia. Against that benchmark, it's rebounded about 6 percentage points. So there's still this unease about what is happening with global trade and how that might impact locally. And, of course, the financial market turmoil that's come with that. We saw a pretty sharp sell-off in financial markets and a rebound since then. But if we look back over the last year, what we're seeing is a clear improvement, and that's more about the easing and cost of living pressures that were dominant over the previous couple of years. There's a mix of slowing inflation, the tax cuts in July last year helped a lot, and then we had an interest rate cut in February. And alongside that, there's this growing expectation that we'll see more interest rate cuts. So there has been a significant improvement on a year ago. But as you said, you know, we still have pessimists outnumbering optimists. And I think that's telling us that the cost of living pressures are still with us. They have improved significantly, but households are still struggling to get ahead and in many cases to make ends meet. And so overall, we're still in this cautiously pessimistic mode. I think that's telling us also that policy is still quite restrictive for the Australian economy, for the consumer in particular.
Can we delve more into how trade tensions are playing on sentiment, though? And given the progress we saw overnight, do you see that flowing through to consumer sentiment?
Look, it is likely to flow through. We saw in April, May, the really big impact came from the financial market reaction. We saw a big sell-off in US share market and global share market more generally that hit the ASX as well. And when we have the components of our questions, one of the questions is how are your finances compared to a year ago? And anyone who had exposure to markets or via superannuation holdings was down materially. That reversed in May. And to the extent that this change in policy or this policy development leads to a further rally in markets, that will probably be a significant positive. Outside of that, it's more around taking a little bit of the confidence away around the outlook for the economy more generally. So it's probably worth 4 or 5 points around economic expectations. And that may be something that lingers. Even with some announcements overnight, there's still a lot of uncertainty around where tariffs land. And they'll still be susceptible to changes. So it's a very uncertain environment. I think that uncertainty may have a more lingering effect on consumers as well.
And finally, you know, when you put this together with what I guess what we've also seen in terms of the NAB business survey out today, what will this all mean for when the RBA meets next week and for the ongoing interest rate outlook?
So I think for the RBA, what this emphasises is that the consumer is still out of sorts. You know, we have seen an improvement over the last year, but sentiment is still sort of languishing a little bit in negative territory. It's consistent with The picture we've seen from other data showing spending has been flat in the first few months of this year. For the RBA, they're sitting on a significant downgrade to their expectations for domestic consumption when it comes to their next meeting. If you couple that with what is essentially a benign inflation update for the March quarter, we think there's scope to ease policy in May by 25 basis points, we think. And in fact, it's appropriate that policy is less restrictive, particularly given we do have significant uncertainty around the global backdrop. It's unclear how much of a drag will play through to Australia and how persistent some of that will be. So I think the RBA will feel glad that they have been patient in assessing the situation. But I think there's enough there around the inflation side of things and this continued flat performance of the consumer to warrant an interest rate cut in May.
That's Matthew Hassan there, senior economist at Westpac. Of course, the Reserve Bank meeting next Monday. It's a two-day board meeting, the decision coming out on Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.